Shalom everyone and Shana Tova. Happy New Year. We're starting a new year. We're just in the process of starting a new year. And it's also a new month because the new year starts on the new moon of the sign of Libra. So we are now in the month of Libra. Now, Libra in Hebrew is Moznaim, the scales. Okay, in other languages, Libra means scales and balance and so on. And the name of the parasha is Ha'azinu. Now, if you don't have the right ears, you don't see it, but Moznaim and Ha'azinu in Hebrew, the way the words are structured is very much not like European languages. European languages are made of words. Hebrew is not made of words. Hebrew is made of formulas. So we have the same letters. Aleph, Zayin, Nun repeat themselves. Ha'azinu means to listen. Moznaim means the scales. But the Shoresh, the three letters, like the X, Y, Z of the main word, is Aleph, Zayin, Nun. And Aleph, Zayin, Nun is an ear. An ear. Ozen. Now, how do you put all of that together and what's in it for us? So let's go to understand what does it mean, ozen? What does it mean, an ear? Now, if you learn the Kabbalistic language, which is called the language of branches, which basically says the world, the real true world beyond the five senses is so far away from our physical senses and the logic of the physical senses, we have no idea how it looks like. However, we can extrapolate because every concept, every force, every structure in the spiritual metaphysical universe beyond the five senses and the logic of our five senses, every thing like this has a branch, which means kind of a shadow or an extension into our very limited dimension of perception. And that's why it's called the language of branches. First you learn about the branches, then you start to extrapolate from the branch to the source in the upper real true universe. So when you say to somebody who studied Kabbalah, you say ozen, which means an ear, the first thing that comes in your mind is Sfirat Bina. When you're talking about the symbolism, the Sefirot in the Tree of Life, you have Keter, Chochmah, Binah, and so on. So Chochmah is the eyes, Binah, the ears. So Ozen means Binah. And what does Binah mean also to us? Binah is the bottom Sefirah of the upper three. Let me translate it to human language. When we speak about the different dimensions of our universe and the structure, so when we are talking about our physical dimension, that's Malchut. This is the world of action, this is the world of limitation, this is the world of tikkun, correction. This is the world that we're here to act upon, returning the godly to the godliness, which means the Creator himself created the perfect universe, and he created all us, his creatures, the souls, in a perfect state. However, he imprinted his image in our nature, which means we have the need to create, we have the need to be independent, we have the need to be the cause and not the effect, and therefore we have the need to create on our own. And that is the reason why there is this great question that says, why do bad things happen to good people? Or shortly, why? Or where is justice? Why it's not fair? And the answer is, the world was created in an imperfect state, the world we know, and we were created far away from godliness so we can create that connection, and we can have ownership over the creation that we created, which means each one of us, each human being, is a universe of its own. That's how it's being said. So whoever saves a soul saves a whole universe. However, that universe that belongs to me, to each one of you, this universe is disconnected in a big part, is disconnected from the Creator and from godliness. And when I connect myself back to the tree of life, to the Creator, to the bliss and the flow of the Creator, that's my connection. And therefore, the world was created over one amazing, great concept, which is called Teshuvah. Wrongly translated into repentance, truly translated according to the Zohar, but also according to simple Hebrew, Teshuvah means to return. What does it mean? It's not to repent, it's to return. What does it mean? We came from godliness, went down through the ladder of devolution into a universe of darkness, negativity, addictions, pain, suffering, injustice, and whatever you just name it, in order for us to return to connect to the tree of life. And now, when we are connected to the tree of life, we own that connection, and therefore we can really, surely enjoy that connection. That's the purpose of human life. The main purpose. No other purpose. This is the real purpose, to return, to reconnect. So you want to say, so these days, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, have a great, great quality in which there is a huge cosmic transformation that I won't go into the details right now because that's very, 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 very deep. It's like it's deeper than brain surgery, okay? But it is a surgery. The Creator is doing a surgery on each one of us for 10 consecutive days from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur. By the way, that continues on Sukkot and later on to Simchat Torah. Only then the structure is really completed, so we are ready for a new year. So we're going through an overall reconstruction, changing, cleansing, and so on. And that's why these 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur are called the days of Teshuvah, the days of reconnection, because we have a godly help that is doing right now an operation on our souls to be able to reconnect us back to the source so we can get enough charge of life force for another year. Life force means life, which means are you going to be alive or you're just going to be dragging there in the, when your battery is in the red and you hardly move because you don't have energy for anything? Or are we going to have like a strong connection to energy so we can make changes, really create whatever we can create in order to connect to the tree of life for this year? All of that is happening right now while as I talk during the 10 days. And therefore, the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the coming Shabbat, is called Shabbat Shuvah or Shabbat Shuvah. Both means the same, the Shabbat of return. Now, the same way, if you remember, there was no blowing of the shofar on Shabbat Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the power of Shabbat is the strongest force in the universe to sweeten judgments. Okay? So that means that if the Shabbat is doing the sweetening of the judgments, I don't need the shofar. And the shofar, by the way, is a connection to Bina, because how do you sweeten the judgments? When you draw the life force from that sefirah, that metaphysical spiritual dimension beyond the five senses that is called Bina. In Hebrew, it means understanding, but it's much deeper than understanding. But the code word is Bina or Ozen, an ear. So on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbat, we had the sweeping of the judgment. So Shabbat during these 10 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is also called Shabbat Shuvah, or Shabbat Teshuvah, the Shabbat of reconnection, which means this is the time we have to pick ourselves up, whatever fell during the past year. And you know, many of us are carrying all kinds of damages, traumas from who knows how long ago. And all of these aspects of our personality that are in a state of disconnection. And that means lack of faith, that means trauma, that means horror, that means fear, that means disbelief, that means cynicism. All of those, if you understood all of that area of emotions that are basically when something inside is put off, when something inside is burned down, this is the time to reconnect during these 10 days, especially on Shabbat Shuvah and the highest of them all, that's Yom Kippur. So the whole story is about that ability to connect in a way that no other time along the year we have such an option to transform, to ascend, and to reconnect to the source. So, if we're talking again about the name of the parasha, Ha'azinu, and we can see again, if we go back to the study, whoever studied before Rosh Hashanah, from the Zohar about the secrets of Rosh Hashanah, so we had in Rosh Hashanah, yesterday we had the shofar blowing. And the shofar blowing, the Zohar is teaching us, is about the Creator helping us to rebalance. What we said, izun, to balance. Also in the ear, you have the three arches of the balance organ in our body. And why three arches? So we have the three arches is like if we're talking about the three-dimensional universe, you need three arches to get your position in space. However, in the real spiritual world, these three dimensions, they are a manifestation of higher dimensions. And these three dimensions are called chesed, loving kindness, on one side, the right column. Then you have the left column, which is judgment, din, or gevura, overcoming. This is another meaning for gevura, the real meaning. And you have mercy, rachamim, in the middle. So right column, chesed, left column, gevura, din, and central column, tiferet, rachamim. Okay, so we have right as the chesed, we have the judgment, and it's also white, red, and green. These are the symbolism of these three forces, that these three forces, when they are not balanced in our life, then we are in a trouble. Things don't flow properly. So let's say I gave this example so many times. You open a business, and what do they say? Start with the right foot. What does it mean? What if I got into the building by mistake with the left foot? Is it a bad omen? No. Start with the right foot. Is about what's your intention. What's the value you want to give when you open that business? If you're not in it for the value you want to give, you have a problem. If you're just coming into business and just want to make money, the customers will feel that you're a taker, you're not a giver. And who wants to do business with a taker? People need to do business with you. And it's not just business, it's getting married also. If you're coming just to take, you know, I want a spouse that will do this for me and this for me and this for me and this for me and that, and I'll take that and I'll take that and it will be amazing. Okay? And what are you willing to really share on the option? Oh, I'm bearing myself. That's good enough. No, it's not good enough. If you don't have the right column to start with, that's starting with the right foot. It's what is the value, what is the sharing, what is the chesed I'm putting into that I'm just starting right now. Relationships, business, whatever, in life. If you don't have the right column developed strong enough, and you have your left column very much developed, what is the left column? How much do I get? You know, you start a business or relationship. You cannot just give. You are a human being and you are also here especially to receive. Okay, however, if you are here to be a taker, you take and you take and you take, and that's called to be a parasite. What happens to a human body when parasites invade or anywhere? The body is starting to activate its immune system to get rid of that parasite. Okay? Same thing with the world. It's like you have a society and somebody is a parasite. So the society is starting to develop all kind of mechanism to eliminate the damage of that parasite. Okay? So we need to balance ourselves. You cannot just give. You cannot just receive. You need to give in a healthy way that will give you a reason to live and also a justification. Because what's about godliness? One of the main things about godliness is giving. The great giver is the creator. Okay, people are not capable of giving. There's a problem with that because we came to this world to give. In the upper world, before we came down, we were created as vessels for God's bliss. And he gave, and we received. So why didn't we stay there? Because there was no place to give. That's why we're here. So part of our reconnection is reestablishing the covenant with the idea that I'm here to create giving, to create value for others. So when we are talking about the blowing of the shofar, it was starting always with a blow, with a tekiya, which is strengthening, building, fixing, correcting the right column that we somehow did not develop strong enough during our life till today. Okay, and what the second blow, the shvira, the shvarim tua, the middle blows, that's about the judgment, the left column that could be was overtaking, overpowering, or hurt, could be hurt. Many times you take and then you get burnt and you hurt. You don't believe anymore that things ever can be good. That's a deadly, basically, as Rabbi Ashlag, the founder of the Kabbalah movement in the modern era, said, that's called aging. Aging means giving up. It will never be good. And aging is a criminal offense, which is death sentenced. Because that's aging is not the age of how many years you're on earth. Aging is about how much did you give up, which means you burned your left column and you don't want to expect anymore because you can't trust that you can ever receive anything of your dreams. What's the secret? You want it big, you have to give big. You want it 10, you have to give 10. That's balance. Okay? And when you put it together, that's a central column, is how do you give and you enjoy the giving, so you receive. How do you receive? How do you receive? And you know that when you receive, you do somebody chesed, which means you receive because they can't just take again. So that's a very important thing. How do we balance these three? So the blowing the shofar was exactly balancing it. But also the whole holidays, all the holiday system of Tishrei, of this month, the month of Moznaim, it's all about balancing. So the first 10 days is fixing really that part that is called the judgment, the left column. Then the days after Yom Kippur is fixing the right column, the Sukkot, and then Simchat Torah, the final day, that's completing everything and fixing the central column. Okay, and there are other lectures about it that you can find on the site. Now, and if you go down, you can also find in the links underneath. Now, so we're going again to the parasha. How the parasha is connected? The parasha is on the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And it starts, this is the song, the last song of Moses before he goes up to the mount and disappears. That's on his birthday, 120th birthday. And he starts, Ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'adabera v'tishma ha'aretz imrei fi. Listen, heavens, and I will speak, and the earth will hear the words of my mouth. So it starts with ha'azinu, listen. And the way this parasha is structured, there's no other parasha in the whole five books of Moses that physically is structured as this parasha. Now, a real parasha, like a regular text in the Torah, which means most of it, the big, big, big majority, you have columns. The way the Torah is written on the parchments is the way the books are printed today. You have a column, you have a white page, and a column of written material. And the text is written, and of course, in the Torah itself, it's written with a hand. Okay? With a hand, it's a handwritten. It has to be with the natural materials. The ink must be from a certain plant, and the either feather those plants that grow on the river, like papyrus or something like this that you can use as a written material, as a pen, with the ink. If I forgot the word. Okay, so now, when it's being written, there are laws how the Torah is being written, which means the many laws, and one of them, that this parasha is never starting on the top of the page, is starting after few lines on the top. So the top is like a regular paragraph, which is written from right to left of the whole page. And Parashat Ha'azinu is written in two columns. So what happened is that the beginning of the page, the few lines of normal writing, then you have two columns. The next page in the Torah, you have two columns. And then the bottom, you have a regular column. So what do you have? You have something that looks like a big N. In the first column, and the second column, it looks like a big U. So what do you have? Look at it carefully. You have three column system, right? You have right column, left column, and like a doorway, right? So you have the lintel and the two posts. So you have right, left, and center. As we said, hazinu, an ear, the three parts of the ear, the three arches of the balance system in the ear. And on the second column, you have also the same thing, but now it's upside down. So it looks like a big N and a big U. And you have, again, you have that thing about three forces to balance. So the balance is also between the heaven and the earth. That's why it says, listen to heaven, and I will speak, and the earth will hear the words of my mouth. Which means another aspect of the balance that a human being needs to live in order to create a happy, successful life is the balance between the soul and the body, the heaven and the earth, the spiritual and the physical. Yes, we need to make a living. You need to take care of your body, because if your body is not taken care of, then your spirituality is gone. When you're in pain and discomfort, it's almost impossible to be spiritual, because the pain takes over. So, and the chaos. So we have to understand that the whole concept of this month is about going into a deep thinking. It's not just New Year's resolutions. It's much deeper than that. It's a New Year's overall. It's like It's from the heavens and from the earth. We make the transformation from within, and the heavens are making the transformation for us for the cleansing of whatever is what we define as me, myself, my personality, my life, my presence, my being, my goal. What is that we are here about? That is the time to really concentrate on doing that, and there's a heavenly support for that that will cleanse our souls and our minds. So after this holiday season, as they call it, is over, no, it's one extended holiday with three stages. As we said, the first 10 days, the days of our judgment, but it's also the days of reconnection. And the reconnection is there, waiting for us. So here we are, reconnecting not just to the right state of mind, not just for the covenant, for who we are and what we're standing for, not just for our relationships, either in business or in community, family. Where is the balance? How do we balance everything? So, you know, if you think that you realize that you, in certain relationships, you are the taker. You have to take some resolutions about how you're going to become also a giver. If you're only a giver, you don't allow others to give also and to be creators of their own. That's another issue that you have to take. This is the whole thing about how do we balance our lives, and that's what this is about. The parasha is Haazinu. Then the name of the month is Maznaim. It's all about, and here we are connecting to Sfirat Bina, which is the big ear. Okay? So, which is the source of health, sustenance, bliss, well-being, and everything else. All of that in one. So, Shabbat Haazinu, and the whole week till Shabbat. It's all about reconstructing ourselves. And again, remember, because our souls are going right now already through this reconstruction, today is the third day of the year. So on the first day, there was a reconstruction, the level of Keter, the second day on the level of Chochmah. Today, the third day, Bina. So again, we have Bina. All of that, but it's going on till Yom Kippur. All of that allows us, it's much easier to do these kind of processes of reevaluating, rebalancing ourselves. And now, there's nothing so balancing as music, and that's Shira. And the whole thing, Haazinu, is a poetry. It's not written as a text, it's written as poetry. It rhymes. Haazinu ha-shamayim v'adabera v'tishma aretz imreifi. Ya'arof kamatar likhi tizal kamatkatal imrati. Kisirim alai deshe uchirvivim alai esev. You can hear the pace of the melody. This is a poetry. This is a song. And a song reveals the forces of life. More than just words and text, although that words have power and letters have power, but a song has much more power. Kishem Hashem ekra avu godel Elokeinu. I will call the name of God. Give greatness to our God. Okay, so in English it sounds horrible. In Hebrew, you have to learn Hebrew. And then it speaks about praising the Creator in a way that there's no other place in the whole Torah like doing that. Hatzur tamim pa'olo, ki chol drachav mishpat. The Creator is being called also my rock. You know that went into English also through the translation. His actions are always complete, balanced. Ki chol drachav mishpat, and all his ways, I'm reading verse 4, all his ways are mishpat. Mishpat is wrongly translated into judgment. Judgment is din in Hebrew. Mishpat is balance. Again, We call God during these 10 days in the praise, HaMelech HaMishpat, the King of Mishpat, justice, not judgment, justice. What's the difference? That Mishpat is about, the Zohar is teaching us, balancing. When people come to court, you're not supposed to, according to the Torah law, you're not, if you are the judge, you're not supposed to punish them. You're supposed to rebalance them. You know, they call a jail in America correctional facility. It's not. Everybody knows that. Okay, very few people get corrected. Okay, and especially you, so that's why the Torah has no jail as a punishment. There's no, and really the Torah has no punishments. And again, God does not have punishments. All what we go through are means of correction. Sometimes we fall, we lose a lot, but we go through a process and then we realize at the end of the process that thank God I fell, I collapsed, and therefore I changed my attitude, and you know what? I corrected and balanced my attitude. Right now I'm much better before I fell. So I did not, the falling was not a punishment. The falling was a correctional issue, opportunity, which means it gave me, through the pain, through the loss, through the fear, through putting me on a place I had to fight for myself, and I had to change and transform my attitude, and the result was a correction. That's called mishpat. Mishpat is when something was out of balance, not really working, not really functional, and now it is functional. That is the concept of this week. It's about finding in ourselves whatever is not functional, whatever is not serving us, whatever is not helping us connect above and below. You know what the sages are saying? Sages are saying whoever is okay with people is okay with God. You cannot be okay with God and hate people. Doesn't work. Why? They are his creatures. If you love God, how can you hate his creatures? Okay? And how can you make yourselves God messenger to punish people so they will be better? You need a lot of love to be able to punish someone with so much love that they will feel it helps them to change. El emuna ve'en avel. God is the God of faith and there is no injustice. Tzadik ve'yashau. He is righteous. What do you mean he is righteous? God is righteous. Why? God has evil inclinations, so we have to overcome. What is about this? So you have to understand, what is a tzaddik, a righteous person? So one of the main ways to explain is somebody who reached that place of complete balance in which we really can see that whatever we go through is part of our correction, is part of our journey, and therefore there's nothing wrong that happened. That's a righteous person. Why it's a righteous person? Because let's try to use the English. Because a righteous person is a person that says that everything that ever happened to me was right. Righteous person. Everything was right. Everything is right. Everything will be right. Because everything is from the Creator. There's nothing but Him. So if that right, He is right. He was always right. Whatever happened to me was right. And the result is, it only made me grow. When you look like this at the past, that everything that happened was amazing, even if I didn't see that at that moment, even if I thought at that moment that it's unfair and bad things happen to good people, when I realized that never happened, it was always right. It was always the best thing that could happen. What does it do to the me of the now when I realize that all what I went through in the past was always for the better? It's a very safe, clean, comfortable place of true well-being. When I look at the past without anger, without resentment, without post-traumatic, whatever they call it today, emotions, and I look at the past and I say it was always amazing, even though I didn't see it that time. The well-being that you reach is that well-being of reconnecting to God, because you have no fear of Him. You know He loved you always. He loves you right now, and that will never change. That gives you the ability, the power, the excitement of looking forward towards the future and saying, if that what happened till now was so great, and I'm such a better place than I was before, can't wait to see me in a year from now. So I'm anticipating the coming year with excitement, with real hopes for greatness, because I know the more I learn, the more I trust, the more I transform, the more I correct myself, the better things are getting. That's the anti-aging medicine of them all, the strongest of them all. Why? As we said before, aging is giving up. We look back about all the things that we got hurt, and we're looking at how we can use that to grow. The excitement about the future is the most healing force that we can ever achieve or reach or experience. This is the story of this parasha. So you can read it again in the, just before that, if we go to verse 6, skip 3 verses. There's a very weird word, I don't even know how to translate it to English, but you can't really. It says, can you really give back to the Creator or show back if you think He hurt you? Which means, can you spite Him? Okay, because when people derail, they have some complaints. It's like, oh God, where were you when? Or why aren't you so righteous as people say about you? When you think like this, that's basically you got off the place. It's like that's very painful place, because that paints everything in the past with very dark colors. That makes you a victim in the present, and that makes the future so bleak that you're not so sure you want to experience the future. That's aging, because you gave up. But if you see the way it's written in Hebrew, it's written in a very weird way. There's one big letter, hey, standing there like a word of its own. Never in the Torah one letter is a word of its own. And it's a big hey. And we know that we have in the Torah 3 letter size. We have all 3 sizes in this parasha. The main size is medium. The medium size, most of the letters of the Torah, like 99.9%, are medium size. This is connecting to the Torah level, which is the spiritual dimension, which is the intermediate dimension between this physical world and the upper world. That is the level that is called Zeranpin. And that's the Torah, and that's also the size of the letters. There are very few letters with different size. The large size, like we have over here, Ha LaHashem, is Bina, connecting to the world above. And we know, remember Bina, Ozen, the ear, but also in the Tetragrammaton, the letter for it is the letter Hey. Here we have a big Hey, which means here we have a connection to Bina. in another aspect. And by the way, the shofar was a connection to Bina. If you look at the Hebrew letter Hey, you see that on the top left, you have a small opening. And in the bottom, you have a big opening. How do you define a shofar? It's a horn. It has a small opening on one side and a big opening on the other side. That's why it makes sound. Okay? So the Hey serves for us as the shofar. Shofar means a horn when you blow it. But shofar comes from the Hebrew word leshaper, to improve, to perfect, which basically that's our calling. We are not here to be perfect. We're here to perfect, because that's how we achieve our godliness and our reconnection to the tree of life. So we'll read some jewels that the Zohar is sharing with us. That's the next verse 7, chapter 32. Zechor yemot olam, remember the days of the world. Binu shnot dov ador, the word bina is being, which means see the generations through the concept of bina. Ask your father, he will tell you. Ask your elders, and then will teach you. And what does he say over here? So the Zohar is saying, what is that about? So what are the days of the world? What is the history of the world? What is Moses saying over here? Rabbi Abba said, "My mimoto ulam, what are the days of the world? It's just history? No, we're talking about the days of the world, the days of the creation." Okay, that's one commentary. And what about the days of the creation? The days of the creation are the seed of the whole creation, all the years and the days that will come. Because the days of the creation, there were not really 6 days. Okay? One reason, how do you count a day? Sundown, sunrise, correct? Okay? The sun was created only on the fourth day. Okay? So we're not talking about time that we know. Also, according to quantum physics, the uncertainty principle, if there was no one to count the days, where are the days? If nobody, there was no human consciousness to be aware of time, was there time? Okay? In quantum physics, this is serious. It's not just a philosophical thing. And the Torah is saying the same. So we're not talking about days of 24 hours of today. We're talking about the root of all creation. And the root of all creation, which is the seed of all what's happening today, everything was already created on the first 6 days. We are just basically playing the destiny that was written, and we have just the ability to transform ourselves or re-edit our life. You know, when you make a movie, on the floor, there are tons and tons of footage. Okay, the big job of the editor is to take hundreds of hours of footage and make a great 1.5 hours movie. Okay, how do you do that? The same thing, the footage was already done. So the Kabbalah is saying, in the 6 days of the creation, everything was done. Our job as humans is to know where to make the cut. When is it? When we find ourselves bitter, angry, upset, when we found ourselves that the left column took over and everything became dark and burned out, and we, instead of letting that control us, we shut it down, we go back to reenacting the rules. I need to give, I need to receive. Everything is great, everything is good, and the most important thing, there's only endless light I want to connect to. I don't want to be right. I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to keep grudge. I want to just to be excited about the fact that I have a chance to recreate my life every moment again. That's exactly what. So when I do that, when I cut down, shut down, and cut down the negative emotions, could be also emotions of stupidity, of excitement about nothing, which is just taking and giving nothing. Okay, I think each one of us knows exactly those moments. When we cut it off and we inject the connection to awe, which is central column, that I know my place, I take total responsibility for who am I, what am I, what do I feel and what do I do, I basically change the movie. I cut the movie and inject something higher. This is the only moment in our lives that we have free will. When we do things that are right and everything is great, whatever flows, that's not a free will. That's the way you are. When everything is miserable and upsetting and so on, and you're just immersed in negativity, you have no free will. The free will is when you step up and recreate your attitude towards life. It's when you get your act together, get your right column in its place, the left column in its place, you merge them together, you're receiving in order to share, you are becoming the person you want to become, the balance, the one who's connected to the network of the tree of life. So when you do that, when you internalize that, you basically realize that everything was good from the beginning. Everything was created, says the Zohar, Lo tikno el abavucha, whatever was created, time, space, and motion, which means locations, events, emotions, whatever movies you went through was created only to give you that arena in which you can become the greatest you can become. When you attain that attitude, that's the condition for teshuvah, for reconnection. And that's why you understand also, here we have the Sforno, one of the greatest commentators some 800 years ago. And he says, you have to realize, when you remember the days of the creation, what was the purpose of the creation? It was not to punish us. It was not to abuse us. Like some people, that's a God they believe in. It's the great abuser. Why? You see so much injustice, and you're always in complaints about God. So you're upset about him, you hate him, you have a thing with him. It's like, you know, father-child dysfunctional relationships. A lot of people have that. No, you have to remember that Creator never changes his opinions about each of his creatures, including you. Never. Everything was there, given leitiv lamina enoshi. Everything is always in the purpose of doing good for humanity. As general, bichlal, it was there from the beginning when all of humanity was in Adam. We were all in Adam. And then Adam in the Garden of Eden messed it up. That was us. And now we have the opportunity to correct it, to change. So whatever we mess up, we cannot really mess up totally. Why? Messing it up totally, that's called by the sages hona'ah. It's like you cannot really cheat the Creator. He created you to be complete and happy, and you will be. You cannot change that. Now, he takes you through all kinds of lessons, all kinds of journeys, till we realize that idea, till we reconnected, till we listen. What does it mean to listen? That instead of being busy with all the noise inside, we can listen to the song of the creation. And that's reconnecting. Thank you so much, and have a happy, positive, sweet year, full of all good.